Our book is entitled The Healing Musician, A Guide to Playing Healing Music at the Bedside by Stella Benson, CMP. This is Chapter 3, Reporting and Self-Care. In the beginning of human creation, no language such as we have now existed, but only music. Man first expressed his thoughts and feelings by low and high, short and prolonged sounds. Man conveyed his sincerity, insincerity, disinclination, pleasure or displeasure by the variety of musical expressions. Hazrat Inayat Khan, a Sufi message. A patient assessment is simply collecting information from various sources in order to analyze a given situation, come to a plan of action, and to proceed in giving comfort care. Generally, you can go through the assessment process in the following sequence. 1. Gather subjective information. 2. Gather objective information. 3. Make the assessment plan. 4. Devise the plan of action. 5. Implement plan. 6. Evaluate action. In simpler terms, the subjective information is what you can observe on your own. Objective information comes from external sources, the patient, other disciplines, caring for the family or for the patient, family members, and the environment. Once you gather and assess the subjective and objective information, you can devise a plan of action. The healthcare industry refers to this as SOAP, which is short for Subjective, Objective, Assessment, and Plan. After you put the plan into effect, evaluate the whole process again and implement changes. There are three major factors that enter into the assessment process. You, the musician, the family and environment, viewed here as one factor, and the patient. Self-preparation and self-maintenance are the integral part of your own assessment. The patient's initial needs are assessed through the help of the direct caregiver, normally a doctor or nurse. The family tends to be indirectly benefited by your services, but besides benefiting for your help, the family and the immediate environment can give you supportive information, offering clues on how to assess the needs of your patient. Lastly, the patient may give you the cues to initiate the session. You, the musician. Quote, "You should listen in the same way that you play, practice, or teach, with love and openness. In this way, you become absorbed in the moment and lose yourself in the music." Unquote. Kenny Werner, Effortless, from Mastery. In an initial self-assessment, before beginning your work at the bedside of the patient, focus on your feelings, needs, and wants. Listen to them. Acknowledge them. Center yourself. Tap into these feelings periodically as you do your work. Get into the habit of checking in with yourself. The better you know yourself, the better you'll be able to tap into your own feelings and express them through your music. Occasionally, you may encounter bad smells and strange sounds. Smells may come from bags that catch body waste or diapers needing to be changed. You may want to carry with you a small container of mint or eucalyptus ointment to dab on your upper lip to mask the odor. You may hear electronic sounds coming from equipment assisting the patient. Try to remain open, intuitive, and most of all, observant. Most often, you can expect to work with patients who will be able to talk with you while you are resting or sitting in a bed or wheelchair. At other times, you can expect to play music for a semi-conscious patient, barely able to walk or move. Sometimes the patient will not respond at all. Don't worry. The music you play may still be heard, not only by the patient, but also by others in the room, and this music can help each of them deal with this tense situation. Direct caregiver, family, and environment. You may wish to form a good working relationship with a direct caregiver, doctor or nurse, so that you can work together for the good of the patient. The direct caregiver is a key player in patient assessments. For additional support in the area of clinical observations, find a mentor in the area such as occupational therapy, music therapy, psychology, and nursing so you can extend your range of knowledge and contacts within the healthcare community. Ask questions, seek advice, and best of all, observe them in action. The direct caregiver can get you oriented to the condition of the patient as well as circumstances surrounding the family. You might start by asking, "What is the condition of the patient?" This question may start a series of questions that will tell you the immediate as well as long-term status of the patient. How much does the patient know about what is happening to him or her? How much does the family know about what is happening to the patient? What kind of medication is the patient taking? How does this medication affect the patient's senses? When you start to play, the amount of time that has elapsed since medication was administered may make a difference. For instance, some medications create drowsiness. You may want to come back when the patient is clear-headed, but keep in mind that many times the patient may still hear you, even when heavily sedated or in a coma. Here is the list of commonly prescribed drugs and their effects. Diagnostic dyes and their side effect: headaches, itching, asthma. Narcotics: disorientation, nausea, and drowsiness. Diuretics: drowsiness, euphoria, nausea, and grumpiness. Antibiotics: drowsiness, euphoria, nausea, and grumpiness. Chemotherapy: nausea, digestive irregularity, and disorientation. Hypertensives: drowsiness, euphoria, nausea, and grumpiness. Sedative: disorientation, hallucination, and that is particularly in elders. The patient. When having a discussion with a patient, practice active listening. Active listening is a simple way to keep an ethical line between you and the patient. It simply means to respond in a supportive way without getting personal. Keep the conversation about the patient and not about you. To help you get started with the patient, ask yourself, what is the patient feeling, needing, and wanting at this moment? Be keen on what you perceive. Ask how it's going. Maybe the patient seems restless and anxious. Can the patient tell you what is needed? You might ask. What is it like for you today? Are you in pain? Are you sore? How did you sleep last night? Since you have your observer eyes open and your intuition is in high gear, you can get a feeling for the ambience in the room. If the patient cannot speak, take a look around the room. When the patient has in his or her personal space or room, can tell you many things. You can find personal items in the room for clues of who they are, what they like, and who loves them. Look for such items as pictures, flowers, books, and magazines. There's a big difference in personal space in the residential healthcare facility and a hospital room. Residential facilities allow for more personal decor. In a residential facility, there may be a wheelchair in the room that you can tell that can tell you that the patient occasionally leaves the room. Often people and friends are present. Remember that your main focus is on the patient, not others in the room. They may be the first ones to see you. Never talk about the patient in the patient's presence as if the patient were not there. Outside of the room, family members may be more comfortable talking in depth with you concerning the patient's needs. How are they related to each other? However, sometimes family members will struggle with the acceptance of pending circumstances and won't want to talk at all. Even though working with the family can sometimes be a tough experience, it can be a rewarding one as well. In my experience, I have observed that family members appreciate your attentiveness, love, and support. They observe you in action, and just in your presence, your music, and your support can be a great, great help for them in their grief. Reporting. Healing musicians may eventually be required to write reports that will go into patient charts. Each institute may have its own documenting system. Patient charts keep track of the patient treatment and can be used as legal documents in litigation cases. They are generally placed just outside the patient room or in centralized areas such as the nursing station. These reporting systems are based on SOAP. Due to the element of urgency in healthcare, where time is short, institutions may use varying degrees or abbreviated forms of reporting. One easy system may be referred to as the ATR, which stands for Assessment, Therapy, and Result, with a focus on overall care plan. The care plan covers the main reason for which the patient is being treated. In hospice, it may be comfort care as it relates to dying. In oncology, it may be assessing pain or nausea as it relates to chemotherapy. In orthopedics, it may be addressing anxiety as it relates to preparing for major surgery. Therapeutic music is an adjunct therapy. It is an added part of the whole and supports the work of those other disciplines such as doctors, nurses, and spiritual counselors. These people will benefit from reading your reports. In this day of constant evaluations and cutbacks in healthcare facilities, it is important that we constantly show our work is beneficial to the patient, to the other disciplines, and to the administration's institute for which we work. It is very important that reporting is to the point, clear, and accurate. The following will give you a sense of how to report. Using the ATR model, your assessment of the patient allows you to give your opinion on the physical state in which you find your patient. Back up your subjective statements with objective ones. For example, you could report, "Patient seems in pain. He moaned frequently." Your therapy gives you the chance to briefly write what you did during the visit, played live therapeutic music for 1 hour. You might report the result like this: "Patient fell asleep, stopped moaning." Certainly, these are simple examples of what you might report. Sometimes longer reports are required. Here are some tips to effective reporting. Avoid blanket statements. Keep it professional. Write what the patient did. Tell what happened as a result of your visit. To avoid blanket statements, always back up subjective statements with objective observations that clearly happened. As a fairly new intern, I once wrote, "Notice that rhythmic music didn't please him much." That said at least two things. One, I wanted to please him instead of simply applying therapeutic music, and two, I thought that rhythmic music didn't please him. This part of my report should have been based on sensory impressions like, "Rhythmic music didn't seem to cause him to respond with movement," to indicate that there was no visible response to the rhythmic music. You can clarify a subjective statement by indicating what occurred or did not occur based on the outward appearances. Be careful to say exactly what you mean. Keep it professional. The healthcare workers don't have time to read how you feel. In the same initial period of internship, I once wrote, "Patient resting in bed turned to face me and said he didn't want music. I left disappointed." Not enough can be said about keeping professional boundaries separate. Since music can be an emotional tool, this will be a constant challenge. Be aware of this, especially when writing your report. Put on your best professional face and keep to the pertinent specifics. Those in other disciplines will read your notes to find out what is happening to the patient, not you. The patient did or did not do what? The report you observed during and after you applied therapeutic music. A report might say something like this: "Seemed to feel better because he smiled and tapped his foot," or "seemed distracted from chemotherapy procedure because he hummed along with the music," or "did not seem affected because he lay perfectly still, eyes looking straight at me or ahead." What happened during your visit? What happened was that you came to see the patient for a purpose, then performed a task that resulted in some sort of outcome. One might think of report writing as a short, conclusive statement of what happened, keeping to the specifics. An additional element of reporting may extend to adding where the referral came from, such as "referral appreciated from Nurse Owen," and the plan at the end of the follow-up purposes, such as "we'll see the patient pre-surgery tomorrow, playing therapeutic music for pre-surgery anxiety." Referral forms. A referral form is necessary for documentation and to keep track of patients. They take time and care to fill out. Walking arbitrarily from room to room in the hospital on an oncology unit does not necessarily call for referral forms, even though you will get referrals from nurses. Referral forms are forms that therapeutic musicians used to keep important information about the patient's history. Always keep confidentiality in mind by keeping referral forms filed in a safe place. Referral forms are your working papers. Each will generally include the patient's name, address, and phone number. It may contain initial notes that come from your referring contact, such as a nurse manager or doctor on the family medication, general background, and patient ailment. Most important will be the purpose of the referral and other team members' names, such as the nurse, case manager, spiritual counselor, key family members with their phone numbers, and so on. In short, this is the form that contains information that may be used to help you do the initial assessment and keep track of each patient. This form is for your own purposes and may be referred to as time goes by to keep track of both the original content of your visit and the situation surrounding the patient. See page 67. You may want to keep track of your patients by initiating your own referral form. Self-care. Quote, when you have done your musical day's work and feel tired, do not exert yourself further. It is better to rest than work without pleasure and vigor. Unquote. Robert Schumann, advice to young musicians. After each session or at the end of the day, take the time to process what has happened. Ask yourself, what surprised me? What moved me? What inspired me? When you experience an unusual visit, such as an extremely emotional experience, perhaps a death or another crisis situation, think of ways to release yourself and heal yourself from it. One way is to find a mentor, spiritual guide, or friend to talk with. Another effective way to release an experience is through rituals. The ritual that works best for me is simply lighting a small votive candle in a glass holder. While it is burning, I write on a slip of paper either the name of the person who died or the difficult circumstance I have just witnessed. When I light the piece of paper from the burning candle, I say goodbye as I watch the paper burn and disappear into smoke. I let the candle burn down in the glass until it is gone. You are the number one asset in the eyes of this healing work. Taking time for peace and reflection with yourself and with your environment is essential for helping others in need. As you gain more experience, you will learn to use your intuition, senses, and communication skills to more effectively assess each patient. Each experience gives you more confidence, and that deepening strength comes powerfully through your music. Each of us has a threshold that tells us it is time to rest. Playing music for the ailing is a worthy labor of love, but can be emotionally and physically draining. Burnout can happen when you refuse to rest until it is nearly impossible to continue. Watch for the following burnout symptoms adopted from Peter McGowan, author of When Something Changes Everything. Mistakes, communication breakdowns, addictions, mood swings, loss of passion, increased control issues, isolation, increased number of sick days, self-sabotage, infighting and complaints, aches and pains, emotional neediness. Take the time for basic self-care. Set aside a regular time, daily or weekly, to reflect and re-energize. Eat well. Keep up the good balance of sleep, exercise, and follow the guidance of your own caregiver. Here are some specific areas for self-care. Keep a journal. Visit and have fun with friends and family frequently. Join a support group. Create a sanctuary in your home for personal quiet time. Take a daily neighborhood walk or jog. Practice one of the many meditative arts, like meditation. I adapted the following meditation from a recent hospice convention I attended in the Northwest. Help me to be receptive to the sick, to the loved ones. Help me to be the strength of intuition, awareness, to see and to feel. Show me how, when, and what needs to be done. Teach me the music that works. Strengthen my resolve and commitment. May my music bring peace and comfort. Affirmations can be very useful to the healing artists on the go. Some call affirmations portable prayers. They can be used anytime, anywhere. Here are a few affirmations. I know what to play. I am strong. My music brings peace and comfort. I am aware. There are many books out on the marketplace where you can find information about affirmations. You may want to make up your own affirmations. Chapter Bibliography. Stephen Bodian, Dreams for Dummies, IDG Books Worldwide, 1999. Eric Mazel, Affirmations for Artists, Penguin Putnam, Inc., 1996. Diane Stein, Essential Reiki, A Complete Guide to the Ancient Healing Art, Crossing Press, 1996. Kenny Werner, Effortless Mastery, J.B. Abersol Jazz, Inc., 1996. Stuart Wild, Affirmations, Hay House, 1997.